Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're welcome back to Friday's Off the Ball. Now we're going to turn our attention to football. The draw for the Champions League quarter-final was made today with Barcelona drawing Roma, Sevilla will face Bayern Munich, and there's a replay of last year's final with Real Madrid drawing Juventus. But I think the tie of the round, I think we're all really, really looking forward to this one, is Manchester City against Liverpool. Rory Smith from the New York Times has joined us on the line. Rory, how are you keeping?
I'm not bad, mate. How are you?
Very good, very good. Yeah, I bumped into you last week in Paris, wasn't it? I was just actually racking my brain from when the last time I saw you. So, yeah, I think I did speak to you at half-time. What did I say at half-time to you as well in that game? Do you remember what I said to you?
I think you said, get out of my way. I want to get to the team.
No, it wasn't that. I remember clearly what I said to you. I said, Thiago Motta shouldn't be on the pitch. And then within 5 minutes, he'd been substituted.
That's true. You are one of the world's great tactical geniuses. That's not new. I felt a bit bad. I love Thiago Motta. Yeah. I like footballers who don't run.
Yeah, yeah. I think in that game, though, it probably just showed it maybe highlighted at that real top level, I'd feel as well now that maybe he is on the way in a little bit, really.
Yeah, I think he is. I don't think he can... And that wasn't even a full-strength Real Madrid midfield, but he looked a little bit off the pace, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Same as the entire PSG team.
Yeah, well, of course, the Champions League draw was made today, so I think, I mean... I don't think there's anywhere better for us all to start, I don't think. This is the first old Premier League clash since 2011 when United beat Chelsea 3-1 in aggregate. Massive game here now, Rory. Liverpool against City. How do you see it going? Because, I mean, I've actually been tipping both these up actually recently, thinking I think they've both got a great chance of winning it. What do you think? How do you think the tie's going to go?
I think that's you hedging your bets, isn't it? Saying you're tipping both of them.
Yes, yeah, clearly. That's what I always do.
I think City have to be favourites because they are, you know, they're so far clear in the Premier League. They are the best team in England. They are much more consistent than Liverpool. They're 1-11, 1-23. They're better than Liverpool. They're further ahead in their development. All of that's true. Guardiola obviously is an outstanding coach, much more balanced to the team. But at the same time, I would have thought that City would not have wanted to get Liverpool. They are, you know, they're obviously the only team in England to have beaten them this season. And I think they're probably a team that maybe can exploit what few weaknesses City have. You, as I say, you'd have to make City favourites to go through, but I'm not sure it's quite as simple as that. The fact that the first leg's at Anfield, I think, is probably significant. If it was the other way around, you'd maybe think that Liverpool would have that extra advantage going into a second leg at home at Anfield. But even so, I don't think it's that clear cut, despite the massive gap between them in the league, I've got to admit.
Yeah, you touched on that there. Maybe City are relative novices, really, in the Champions League, aren't they? Guardiola's he's always been keen to stress that. But there does seem a marked difference about City this year when you watch them in the Champions League. Because the one I think last season, I was at the Monaco game last year, and it was a wild game. It was brilliant to commentate on. It was a brilliant game to be at. I don't know if you were at that one yourself, Rory, but it was just how they went about it and didn't put it away in the second leg against Monaco away from home. I think there is a calmness around City now. That's how I would feel maybe when I've been watching them this season.
There's maybe a self-confidence, a belief that their way of playing will win out in the end, and I think that's really important. Funnily enough, I do think that, and it's something Mourinho's touched on today, I do think that having that experience of the latter stages of the Champions League is really important, and it's something that maybe we overlook a little bit. That if you've got players who have been to semi-finals and finals, that makes a huge difference. Obviously, Liverpool don't have many, and City have been to semi-finals, but they don't have many Champions League winners in there. That, you would say, would be a disadvantage against the Barcelona, a Real Madrid, a Bayern. Against Liverpool, I guess, because both of them are comparatively inexperienced at this level, it won't be a factor. But there is definitely a... City just seem like they've maybe needed that time, that extra year, just to bed into Guardiola's method, to buy into his way of doing things. And they now look like they are all fully on board. They get what he's trying to do. But then again, to be honest, I guess you can say the same of Klopp, that it's taken a bit longer, the quality of player at his disposal is maybe a bit lower. But there's a clear identity to Liverpool as well, in the way, I guess, that there isn't perhaps to Chelsea and to Manchester United, and it might be that that's the reason that two of them are in the quarterfinals of the Champions League and two of them aren't.
Yeah, well, I mean, Guardiola, of course, he's won it twice, but do you think there is added pressure on him more so than Klopp, because the expectancy I've put, I suppose, perhaps I was maybe saying wages and things like that, they're actually paying, but I suppose Liverpool's fairly comparable with that anyway. But do you think there is more pressure on City in this game over the two legs? Would you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, just because they're favourites, I think, and because they are leading the Premier League by such a massive distance, and because they have Guardiola, And at the risk of not finishing my sentence, because there is this sense maybe that the traditional giants in the Champions League, Barca, Real Madrid and Bayern, aren't quite what they were a couple of years ago. So there is a feeling that maybe this is City's really, it's not their only chance, but it's a really good chance for City to win it. Whereas I think Liverpool, if you were to look at it objectively, and people very rarely look at football objectively, Liverpool getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League is a pretty good performance for Liverpool. Anything from here on in for Liverpool is kind of a bonus. You wouldn't have gone into the season saying, well, Liverpool should probably be targeting winning the Champions League. If they got to the semis, that would be an extraordinary achievement. To the quarters, I would say, is just about par, maybe a bit better than par. So from that point of view, Guardiola is clearly under more pressure than Klopp. But that said, Liverpool obviously have this European pedigree, this sort of identification with the Champions League that means there won't be many Liverpool fans thinking it's acceptable to be knocked out of Europe by Manchester City, no matter who their manager is, no matter how good their players are. There is more pressure on City because they are the favourites, but I don't think that means Liverpool are going into it without pressure.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it before as well. There's one side that can pick them apart and have picked them apart, of course, this season. There was that game at Anfield when Liverpool were outstanding. They almost actually nearly threw it away late on. But when you've got Salah, Firmino, Mane in the side, look, Salah, 7 goals in the competition. He's just been outstanding really throughout. He's one of the players of the season, of course. But when with those three in the side, That's maybe what's leading me to suggest over the last few weeks, Liverpool can actually compete and beat any one of these sides that they would have been facing, particularly Anfield, though.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it seems strange to say for a team that we're so used to talking about in terms of their flaws and the problems that they have. And the fact, you know, their midfield isn't a top quality midfield and the defence is still slightly shaky, despite the signing of Van Dijk. You know, it'll take time for that defence to knit together. It seems strange to say, well, Liverpool probably could beat any of the teams in the final eight, despite the fact that some of those teams are Bayern Munich and Barcelona and Real Madrid. I don't think anyone would have wanted to play Liverpool. I think the victory against Porto in Porto would have made that abundantly clear that on their day, Liverpool can do a lot of damage to anybody. That said, you wouldn't expect necessarily to see a team with as many obvious kind of places to develop as Liverpool win the Champions League, but then Liverpool won the Champions League in 2005 with a much worse team than this one.
And played a total different style as well, though, Roy. That's the thing, isn't it?
And in a totally different style. This style feels a little bit more modern, I think. It feels a bit more suited to the Champions League and that sort of one-off occasion. The curious thing about the game at Anfield between Liverpool and City in the Premier League was that City played quite well. And I think if it almost would be easier for Guardiola to think, look, we had a really bad day at the office. No one turned up. We were awful. We couldn't get going, and Liverpool beat us. City weren't at their best. Don't get me wrong, but they weren't bad by any stretch of the imagination. And in sort of a 10-minute period, Liverpool just blew them away, and they did their best at the end to give them a chance to get back into the game, which was really nice of Liverpool. But we shouldn't underestimate how generous they can be to their opponents. But the fact that City playing well lost to Liverpool, I think, will give Guardiola pause for thought. I don't think City will be pleased with the draw. Fairly sure Liverpool will be a little bit more disappointed, but not by much. I don't think it's a game that either team would really have wanted.
Getting your pundit hat on now, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think will prevail from this game?
I think you have to... I mean, I'm going to hedge my bets as well, like you. you have to say City. City are favourites, no question about that. I do think Liverpool have a better chance of knocking them out than most of the teams in the quarterfinal draw. I've got to say that. Real Madrid and Barcelona maybe would have fancied taking on City just because of their pedigree and the quality of player at their disposal. And Bayern obviously would have something to prove to Pep to show that they've got used to life without him. But I do think that Liverpool stand a better chance than most of putting City out, just because they have the weaponry to hurt them, because Klopp's record against Guardiola is pretty good, and because Liverpool's record against City over the last few years is excellent, particularly at Anfield. City haven't won there for a long, long time, and that will be a factor, I think, particularly on a European night where the atmosphere at Anfield is a little bit more hostile than it can be in the league.
Yeah, you mentioned there about his setup. I think it's going to be a classic anyway, so we'll see how that goes over the next couple of weeks. You just spoken there about manager style though as well, Rob. I just want to drop in just some audio from Jose Mourinho. Jose Mourinho has been questioned about his methods and how he's going about things, and he's had a bit of a pop back today. So just listen to this here.
And there are four clubs that they are always there. Always there. Barcelona is always there in the past 7-8 years. Real Madrid is always there in the past 7-8 years. Juventus is always there. Bayern Munich is always there. And then, of course, appears now and again another club like my Inter, like some other clubs, like Monaco. Last season, some clubs that, you know, but the ones that are always there is for some reason. And the good thing for me and the amazing feeling for me is that I am exactly in the same page as the owners, as Mr. Woodward, as Mr. Arnold. We are exactly in the same page. We agree in everything. We know that we have a process. We agree in the investments. We agree that we have what we have. The investments we are going to do are going to be progressively season after season. We need more than the investments. We need also the time. We are exactly in the same page. I could be in another country with a league in the pocket, the kind of league that you win even before the league starts. I could be, I'm not, I'm here. I'm here and I'm going to be here. For me, you know, I don't know if you know the expression, I don't know if the translation to English makes you understand, but I there is a quote that I like, which is something like, in every wall, is a door. You know, every wall is a door. You know, I'm not going to run away, I'm not going to disappear, I'm not going to cry because I heard a few boos. I'm not going to disappear from the tunnel immediately. The next match, I will be the first to go out. You know, I respect the fans. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of my responsibilities. When I was 20 years old, I was nobody in football. I was somebody's son. You know, and now, with 55, I am what I am. I did what I did because of work, because of my talent, and because of my mentality. You know, I understand that for many years was really, really hard for the people that doesn't like me. Here he is again. Here he wins again. Here he is again. Here he wins again. So for 10 months, I win nothing. For 10 months, I win nothing. The last title that I won was 10 months ago. You know, I beat Liverpool, I beat Chelsea, I lose against Sevilla, and now is the moment to be happy. Okay, you know, I also learned that in my religious formation, be happy with the other's happiness, even if the others are your enemies. So be it. I am a very lucky guy, and I'm really happy to be what I am.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho there, clearly with an agenda there, Rory. What did you make? Do you think he's got a point with what he was trying to say today, Rory?
I think with all of this, his entire reaction to the severe defeat, he does have a point. There is a point that Man United are not, they don't have a divine right to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, which I think is what he's driving at, that this isn't a club that's necessarily in a position to try and win the Champions League yet. I think that's what he's getting at. I think he's right to say that, you know, they're in a process, that they, you know, it's going to take time, that he needs more investment, that he said that he talked about football heritage today, which I think was a poor choice of phrase, but again, in recent years, I think what he's saying is, look, Man City in particular are further ahead than Man United, and we have to respect that. He keeps pointing out kind of how low United have sunk, the lead positions in recent years, the fact that they've, you know, they've not been in the Champions League semi-finals for a long, long time. I think that's all fair enough, and he's got a point with all that. But I think he's making it really weirdly. I've got to admit, I think that the way he's going about it is really odd. There was a piece by Dion Fanning for Joe not long ago, after the severe defeat, where he talked about the fact that Mourinho, after that game, kind of invoked his own memory of beating United at Old Trafford to knock them out of the Champions League. And it was almost as though... It was almost an example, I guess, of what matters to Jose being the protection of his own legacy, not the legacy of his team. It was, look, Man United are, sometimes Man United are bad, but Jose Mourinho is always great. And that's the kind of message he's trying to get across. I can see why he's doing it. I don't think he's completely wrong. I don't think he's gone insane or anything.
Is that legacy being tarnished, though, now with how they're playing and the manner in which they went out against Sevilla, though, on Tuesday?
Well, I think the big thing, and it's something that Dion touched on in that piece, is that Mourinho's now pleading for time, but Mourinho's always been the guy who doesn't need time.
Yeah.
And he's kind of mocked managers for talking about how they need time and having a philosophy to put in place and a process to work to. And yet now that's exactly what he's saying. And look, I don't disagree with him. I think that United do need a bit of time to kind of build themselves into what they used to be again. And that's fine. It's fair enough. But for Mourinho to say it is just slightly hypocritical, because it's something that he's always kind of railed against in the past. He's always been the guy who goes in and wins. And now he's saying that he needs time. And then the other factor of it is, I'm not quite sure that Manchester United are as bad as he's making out, if I'm completely honest. I think that he talked about people like Otamendi and John Stones and Fernandinho for Man City today, and said that that's a legacy, a football heritage that goes back several years. But United's squad isn't made up of complete duffers. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't get in it, for example. And
arguably.
But there's a couple of players who aren't brilliant. But I think we need to keep perspective here, that they're all expensive internationals at Manchester United. It's not a team of kids. It's not a team of kind of hopeless cloggers who are over 30. Mm. There's some really talented players there. And I just find that aspect of it slightly hard to swallow as well. I get why he's trying to say, look, this team has had some low moments in recent years and we're maybe not quite what we used to be. It's going to take time to get there. That's all fair enough. But the way he's going about it is just very, very odd.
Yeah, and well, I mean, there's a bit of pressure on this week, and I feel into that Brighton game for the FA Cup, because he spoke about winning trophies, so it does probably put a little bit more pressure on him for this weekend. But we'll see how that one pans out. Anyway, interestingly, how do you think it is going to pan out with Mourinho there at United? Because there was a suggestion in the week. I read an article on the board being unhappy with Mourinho, the way that he set his side up for the Sevilla game. Do you feel that we could see something happening over the next month or two, and we may not necessarily see Jose Mourinho around for the long term, as he's spoke about himself?
Well, he's just signed a new contract, so I think anything immediate is unlikely. I personally just don't buy this idea that Jose's now ready to settle down. I don't think that's how he works. I don't actually think the way he works is suited to that. I don't think he could maintain that level of intensity that he needs to get the best out of his players. There's question marks over whether it works for 2 years. I don't think there's any question that it won't work for 5 or 10. He doesn't have that, I think, in his makeup, and that's not really a bad thing, and it's certainly not a criticism, because Guardiola doesn't have that in his makeup. Guardiola freely admits that 3 or 4 years, that's it. After that, everyone's tired, you need a change. Klopp has done 7 years at Dortmund and Mainz, slightly lower pressure environments. It'd be interesting to see how long he lasts at Liverpool. Conte is a 2-3 year cycle manager. That's the way it's gone. I don't think there's any reason to think that Mourinho at 55 is suddenly going to go, right, I'm ready to settle down, I'm going to be here for 20 years now. I don't think he'll be there in 2020, but I think he probably will be there until the end of 2019, certainly. Because I'm not sure where else United go at this point.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'd probably be with you on that one as well. I suppose it's just watch this space. I will move on now to the Juventus-Real Madrid game, Rory. I don't know who you have seen. You were at the Real Madrid PSG game, of course. Very different Real Madrid performance in that, wasn't it? And the fact is that they were solid, they were narrow. I was very impressed with how Zidane tactically lined his side up. Against Juve, of course, twice beaten finalists in the last 3 years. They've lost 7 finals in the competition's history and they've only won it twice. So is there any suggestion that Juve can put Real Madrid out here?
You never ever rule out Real Madrid. That's what I think we've all learned.
Yeah.
They don't look like a particularly great team. They didn't in the 3 years that they've won it in the last 4. They kind of go against everything that we think about modern football, all the stuff that we as journalists talk about and that fans admire and that boards want and that players want, all the stuff about philosophy and planning and, you know, kind of long-term thinking. Real Madrid don't do any of that, really. There's been a bit of a change with their recruitment policy in recent years. They've got a lot of very good under-23 players, but there's still huge issues in terms of the squad and the manager and the way the club functions, but they just keep winning the Champions League. They are really good at winning the Champions League. So again, you'd have to make them favourites to beat Juve. But I just wonder, you know, that I was at the Juve game against Spurs. I've seen it a fair bit of Juve this season. There's something about them that they know how to pick their way through a game. Mm. And I wonder, over 2 legs against a Real team that are not great, that are not what they were last year, that do have problems, whether Juve might just get the chances they need. And of course, they have the inspiration of the memory of the final last year as motivation. I spoke to Paulo Dybala before the start of the season, in fact, and he said that he personally is motivated by revenge, that he will not rest until he has avenged what happened in Cardiff. And I think it's probably fair to say that that will go for all of that Juventus squad. They will have that memory of what happened that night, the 4-1 defeat, going so close, being the best team in the competition last year, and then falling at the last, in the second half of that game even, because they were the better team in the first half of the final. So I don't know. I mean, again, you kind of make Real favourites to go through, but I suspect they won't have wanted to draw Juventus.
Yeah, nice little name drop there in Dybala. It will be billed up as Dybala v Ronaldo. Wanted to get your thoughts on Barca v Roma as well, Rory. Barcelona unbeaten in the competition alongside Liverpool. How do you think that's going to go? I mean, personally, when you look at it, I was looking Sevilla and Bayern Munich, and I was looking at it thinking any side would want to play Sevilla, I'm sure of that one. Barcelona seems, on the face of it, that they've got a decent draw here.
I think it's true of both Barca and Bayern. They'll be very happy with the way it's panned out. Bayern maybe more so, because they're at home second, which is, you know, traditionally the way that that makes it better for the bigger teams. I don't think Barca or Bayern have anything to complain about. Roma are a good side. I think they're quite a clever team, and Di Francesco, their manager, has kind of instilled a bit of steel in them that maybe has been missing from Roma in recent years. You know, people like Nainggolan, Strootman, they've got good players. Dzeko and Kolarov are kind of experienced campaigners. They won't be easy. They won't roll over, I don't think. But Barcelona should go through relatively comfortably, and the same for Bayern. I think, funnily enough, I do think that Sevilla got a bit of a rough ride in the build-up to the United games. People talking about them as kind of almost as though they were kind of plucky amateurs, and they'd be just happy to be at Old Trafford. They're a weird side, Sevilla. They've got a strange eclectic collection of players. They seem almost designed to turn it on for certain games and then turn it off completely for others. You look at the players they've got and you think there's no chance of them being consistent particularly. They are decent at knockout football. Obviously, they've got a great record in the Europa League and in the Copa del Rey. But Bayern, I think, will have too much for them. Those two, I would expect, Barca and Bayern, to be in the semi-finals fairly comfortably. It's the other two ties where the interest is.
Neck on the block then. Yeah, you say Barca, you say Bayern Munich. Who will be the semi-finalists then?
I'm going to say Barca, Bayern, Juventus and Manchester City.
Oh, here we go then. Rory, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for speaking to us this evening.
Always a pleasure, mate. Take care.
Earlier we asked you to name this mystery voice.
Dos, tres, cuatro times.
That was, of course, David Moyes. The winner of the signed Sean Kelly shirt and shorts is Shane Kelly from Dundalk. Tomorrow we'll have full coverage from Twickenham with Jenny Murphy, Andy Dunn, Mike Ruddock and Ian Dowling. That's all up for the night. Good luck. Take it easy.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.